And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is July 5th, 2017, and this is Orlene Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. And today, this morning, I want to wish you all happy birthday, America. I know that yesterday was the 4th. You celebrated, you remembered, you connected, and you knew how great America is. And you know, it's not because you have a wonderful president, Donald Trump, that is really shaking the world. It's because you are the great people. And from somebody who is American and is overseas and is missing you so much, I want to tell you, we love you, we appreciate you, and there is nothing like America. So please, please remember that. So let's start today with the intro of our Protect, the sponsor of the show.
If we can even save one life, or save one child, or save one family, I mean, that's worth much more than money. And I lead men, and I train guys. I try to bring the best of my experience to save as many lives as possible in combat. I was elite special forces and elite anti-terror team. It's called Yamam. It's an Israeli Hebrew word for like special operation group. It is the most well-known and most elite team in the whole country of Israel. The Protect Company, and me especially as a person, as a private individual that have a family and have many friends, and all my Protect crew, not just in the U.S., but my guys all over the world, our main goal is to reach out to people and tell them, listen, buddies, we all have a problem. Terrorism is on the rise. Radical cells that are right now active in sleeper cells in the United States right now as we're talking. This is a global threat that's actually infiltrating slowly, slowly to any place on the planet, especially in the United States. How do we get more people to be aware of this problem? But like I said, and I'll say it a million times, people forgot 9/11. 9/11, unfortunately, is not the last one. If you ask me, on American soil, there will be another attack. It's about time we do something about it.
All right, and we are...
Criminals have patterns of stalking.
It's okay, it's okay. Keep on.
There's from pedophiles, rapists, kidnapping, kids gone missing. There's a lot of unstable and psychopathic people out there. Training people to save their lives is my main goal. The human experience teaches me, and I've been in this movie so many times, that taking no action is the worst case scenario. It means you have to take action from 0 to 100 right now. And you sitting on your butt doing nothing won't solve the goddamn problem. More and more people are involved in some type of self-defense. You know, we do the Israeli Krav Maga. We have and it's a very popular form of self-defense. And we need to have all the people from everywhere in the United States be ready for battle. Now, I'm not talking about organizing a militia or breaking the law. We're doing what's right for humans.
We've been thrilled with the opportunity to bring some of this Protect team in, some of the top trainers from Israel and really around the world to help train our team to be prepared for anything that would happen. We had a couple young Muslim men come in. We discovered that they were a couple young men that were on a watch list for the FBI, a couple young men that they were very concerned about. They may have had intentions that were not good.
Are you willing to die, just sit there static and do nothing about it, or I'm taking action? It's about time we do something about it.
Fuck everyone!
Always there's a chance of someone bringing in a gun into school to do something.
This is Itai Gill with a Protect company that helps the world save itself from all the terrorist activity. And, you know, we have to pay attention who we sponsor and who we helping. Because sometimes you get a call and you say, you know, let's help those kind of people. And the American government is so kind and so generous and so willing to help everybody that sometimes it forgets in the process that it might be actually helping the other side. And we have at this point a company, you know, that is promoting the terrorist organization in Palestinian territory. That's what they call themselves. They call themselves Palestinian. But the truth of the matter is they sponsor anybody who is willing to kill Jews. So the Congress, the U.S. Congress, is actually have a Taylor Act. Taylor Act is the act that says, let's not pay for that. Because if the Palestinian people are paying any mortal, any person that is willing to kill himself or, you know, pays its family, we should stop it. So that's why we have the Taylor Act. Let's listen to that.
The Syrian government slamming a United Nations chemical weapons watchdog group today after it reported that sarin gas was used to carry out that deadly chemical attack last April. You know, the Syrian government of Bashar al-Assad has been accusing the UN of relying on what it calls terrorists for that sarin gas conclusion. The U.S. has long blamed the Syrian government for the chemical attack, as you know. And, of course, we launched that missile strike against the country's military in return for that attack. And you know, this is not the first time that the term terrorists has been turned on its head in the Middle East. For more on that, we're joined by New York Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin of Long Island. He's a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee. So, Congressman, first of all, Bashar al-Assad, a butcher, you know, basically a war criminal responsible for a humanitarian crisis that's just untold, 500,000 people killed, millions displaced. And they say it's the terrorists that unleashed this chemical weapon.
It's hard to take this allegation by Assad seriously. There's a long history of dishonesty by the Syrian government, by Bashar al-Assad. I've seen no shred of evidence whatsoever to back up Assad's claim that this wasn't done by the Syrian government. You can look back a few months ago where just after that chemical weapons attack, barrel bombs were used. And the Assad regime was claiming that they didn't use barrel bombs, even though they absolutely did. In 2011, where Assad ordered violence that resulted in thousands of Syrians, men, women, and children ended up being killed. Assad claimed that he had nothing to do with ordering that violence. So we can't really look at these claims with any bit of credibility or legitimacy, and I have not seen a shred of evidence to back them up.
And meanwhile, not only that, but it seems that the government of Bashar al-Assad has kind of gotten the message, because they had that one chemical attack, but haven't had a second since the Trump administration launched those missiles. Let me play you a soundbite from U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley, referring to that specifically when she testified about this.
I think that by the president calling out Assad, I think by us continuing to remind Iran and Russia that while they choose to back Assad, that this was something we were not going to put up with. So I would like to think that the president saved many innocent men, women, and children.
Do you think the president, in fact, did that?
No doubt. So when President Obama would put out a red line, and that red line got crossed, there was no consequences. But what we saw in response to the chemical weapons attack a few months ago is that we saw a limited, targeted strike that was ordered by the president that was targeting infrastructure, not people. When red lines are being put in place, as we're seeing here in Syria by President Trump, Assad knows that President Trump is serious about enforcing them. So as there was a threat, a possibility that Assad might carry out another chemical weapons attack, as the Trump administration is reiterating that this is unacceptable and comes with consequences. Assad knows it comes with consequences, and that's one of my criticisms of President Obama was the inconsistency and weakness on the part of his foreign policy. And for President Trump, there's more consistency here with Syria and with others. He understands that we should be treating our adversaries as our adversaries. They don't respect weakness, they only respect strength. And he's being respected, and I believe it, Ambassador Haley was correct.
You talk about others. Let's talk about something else that you're involved in. This deals with the term of terrorists. We're talking about the Taylor Force Act. We've reported on this extensively here in Fox News. You're looking at a photo now of Taylor Force. Taylor was 28 years old. He was a graduate of West Point. He served in Iraq and Afghanistan. He was attending Vanderbilt Business School last summer when he's walking on the boulevard in Tel Aviv with his friends, and a Palestinian terrorist comes out of the crowd and starts stabbing everybody, stabbed 12 people, stabbed Taylor Force to death. And it turns out this has highlighted the issue that the Palestinian Authority pays $300 million a year, 8% of its budget, out of a martyrs fund. Taxpayer money from us may be going to that. You have signed on to this bill to try and cut those payments. Why do you think, Congressman, this is so important?
Well, as you're highlighting here, Taylor Force is a United States Military Academy graduate. He is an American. He is an Army veteran, and we have tremendous amount of respect for him. So when we talk about the Palestinian Authority inciting violence for Palestinian terrorists murdering innocent Israelis, it's not just innocent Israelis, it's Americans as well, and we are helping fund it. And we should be better leveraging our funds to the Palestinian Authority and make it clear that we will not provide them any more money whatsoever as long as they continue to incite violence and financially reward terrorism. So that when they murder these innocent Israelis and Americans, the Palestinians end up treating these terrorists to state funerals. They call them martyrs, and they reward them or their families if the terrorist ends up getting killed. So this is an important policy. The Taylor Force Act now has bipartisan support in Congress, and it's something that needs to get passed. And Ambassador Haley, this past week when she was before the House Foreign Affairs Committee, she was very strong in her remarks. She mentioned how she's met with Taylor Force's family, and that she agrees, as our U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, that we should be better leveraging our funds and send a clear message to the Palestinian Authority that we're not going to do it.
You asked her about that, but I mean, it doesn't seem that Mahmoud Abbas is getting the message. He's resisting that, and they're continuing those funds. Let me read you from the Jerusalem Post. Caroline Glick writes this about the meeting that Jared Kushner and Jason Greenblatt had with Abbas, and they raised this very issue. And here's what the Jerusalem Post writes, saying, quote, not only did Abbas reject their demand, he reportedly accused the presidential envoys of working as Israeli agents. The most amazing aspect of Abbas's contemptuous treatment of the Trump administration is that he abuses Trump and his senior advisors on demanding that the Trump continue funding him in excess of $500 million a year. The Taylor Force Act enjoys majority support in both the House and the Senate. It is also supported by the Israeli government. But Congressman, as you know, some fear that if it does go into effect, that it could topple the PA and Hamas would take over. And that's an underpinning of the Palestinian Authority. Do you think that would happen? And what do you think should happen?
Well, first off, it's important to point out that this is a bill that it has to do with American tax dollars. Americans have an issue with providing tax dollars to a Palestinian Authority that uses their money, their budget, to financially reward terrorism. So from that perspective, we should not be bullied as a nation into financially rewarding terrorism abroad. And that's an important principle as Americans, and an important message that should be sent not just to the PA, to others. Now, as far as the Palestinian Authority goes, there's no doubt that there is a growing influence within the PA of Hamas and with elements that will not rest unless Israel is wiped off the map. Again, an important reason for us to be negotiating from a position of strength, understanding that the Israelis are our friend, and the Palestinians, they've said it's non-negotiable. They won't recognize Israel as a Jewish state. They launch bombs to try to wipe Israel off the map. So we have to be postured the right way correctly. And I believe strongly that part of being postured correctly is not helping the Palestinian Authority financially reward terror.
Well, they are right now refusing to drop those payments, and the bill is in the House, and it will continue. Congressman Lee Zeldin of Long Island, good to see you always. Thank you for your insight with us today.
Thank you, Eric.
Of course.
All right, and And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis, and it was about the Taylor Act. Taylor Act actually saying that you cannot sponsor terrorism, and of course the American government, the U.S. government, cannot actually pay for it. And the Palestinian Authority decided that they cannot sponsor terrorism. And if we actually talk the truth, like the impossible truth that we all hear about, we know that Palestinian Authority is condemning anybody who works with Israel or help the world on doing the right thing, because the Palestinian just thinks that Israel needs to vaporize in the thin air. They just vandalize a creature like Daesh is. And I'm saying that with a consideration that there is a new day. There is a new day because as at the end, remember, the truth always, always will reveal itself, because that's the nature of the truth. If you can take a story, you will find the truth at the end of the day, because it always reveals itself. And the Palestinian story is vanishing from day, from every day that they invented it, with the idea that they own the land, which they never had a state. And we are coming to the conclusion that we need to actually meticulously with the consideration what really happened when the Jewish state was promised that ground with the British mandates, and what happened when the Jordanian took over a part of it, and presumptuous that they are not going to include the Palestinians in it. Because if you take the ground, you have to take the responsibility. And the King Hussein, the passing King Hussein, did give them their passports, the Jordanian passports. So while the Palestinian people have a Jordanian passport, they still claim land that doesn't belong to them. So it's about time we start saying the truth and being, sticking with history. I'm not inventing it. It's all in the books. It's all history. You just go and search it. Now, and on that point, we have a very interesting day today. We have the President Trump traveling to Europe to talk with so many important people from the G20, G8, and they're going to consider what happened in the North Korean missile launching. And what China is about to do, and what Russia, we have actually a Russian and America encounter. We're going to have an incredible, incredible meeting. I think that if those two leaders are going to work right, they might change the day. Now, I wanted to go back and take you to the Ukraine-Russia treaty. Because a voice whispered to me, and I'm telling you, that's why I have a show here, because I get the information that nobody is talking about. It's not in the mainstream media, but it's real truth. So I got a voice whispering to me. It said, "Hey, Orly, remember that Ukraine-Russia treaty that we have like 20-some years ago? Well, the Russians saying that the Ukraine did not comply." So let's listen to what it was in stake, and then we're going to follow up.
December the 5th marks 20 years since the signing of the Budapest Memorandum, the document signed by the leaders of Ukraine, Russia, the UK and the US, required Ukraine to give up its nuclear weapons stockpile. In exchange, world powers promised to respect Ukraine's existing borders and sovereignty. Now, two decades on, Ukraine and its international partners argue that the treaty has been lost in time. After the Soviet Union fell, Ukraine inherited several thousand nuclear weapons, giving it the world's third largest stockpile. Two decades on, Ukraine and many Western observers allege that Russia violated that agreement with its invasion and annexation of Crimea in March. According to Moscow, though, Russia didn't violate the agreement because it followed the will of the Crimean people in taking the peninsula, despite widespread criticism of the hasty and illegal referendum on independence.
We have Ukrainian-Russian treaty that was supposed to transfer all the nuclear weapons to Russia, and Ukraine could have her liberty. So what happened there? Let's listen to Jack Matlock, the ex-former president, ambassador to Russia, and what's his perspective. And his perspective is really important because he actually can prove us what's Russian ability and capability and willing is all about. So let's listen to Jack Matlock.
I think we're in a very dangerous situation right now in regard to Russia over Ukraine. 6 months ago, a year ago, when people were talking about Cold War II, I said, this is silly. This is not Cold War II. The Cold War was about a worldwide confrontation over ideology. It was about communism and the conflict with communism. And it occurred all over Latin America, Africa, Asia. Now, what we're seeing now is a conflict in an area which 30 years ago would have been a local problem in one country. How can that lead us to Cold War II? However, as things have developed, and as I see debates now as to whether the United States should supply lethal weapons to Ukraine, I wonder what is going on. When I see all these debates and saying, oh, you know, Russia's only a regional power, what does that mean? What does that mean, particularly in their own region? And I think that the elephant in the room, which nobody is referring to, is the nuclear issue. No country which has ICBMs, ICBMs, 10 independently targeted warheads, very accurate, mobile, so they can't be taken out. No country with that is a regional power. The most important thing we did in ending the Cold War was cooling the nuclear arms race. If there are any issues for this country to face that are existential, that's it. Now let's face it. Much as I respect and love the people in Ukraine, and I do know them, I was probably the only American ambassador to the Soviet Union who could and did make speeches in Ukrainian when I went to Kiev, as well as in Russian when I was in Moscow. I do know that country. I know its literature and its culture. I prize it. My heart goes out to the people who are going through hell in eastern Ukraine this winter. But I'll tell you, if the United States gets further involved in what is in the minds of the Russians, territory which historically has been part of their country, given the present atmosphere, I don't see how we are going to prevent another nuclear arms race. And that's what scares me.
All right. We are back. It was Jack Matlock, the former ambassador to Russia from the USA. And he was talking about the risk that one encounter when they are trying to actually ponder what's the Russian involvement in the U.S. And what I want to show you, I want to make you listen to the fact, because what happened is, the newspaper, the journalism of today is not responsible. Because you can look around and see the chaos that we all are in, and you can understand that journalism did not help prevent it. It did not help bring peaceful coexistence, and it did just create a chaos. Of course, we promoted democracy, and democracy is something that the people feel and they want to be a part of. And of course, the Arab Spring is something that came out of. But right now, we have a chaos. And if there is a warning that I would like to say to the USA, I would like to say, you know, take it easy. Take it easy, because you cannot go an all-out bomb. You cannot go and try to settle with North Korea when his idea of a present to the U.S. Independence Day was to launch missiles. Probably it was the excitement that he has. He's a young leader. Not so sure what his capability about, but we must be very cautious when we proceed. It's like a minefield. You don't want to go and, you know, like shatter everything, because what at the end, if we are going to get involved in the World War III, it's going to be devastating for all of us. And trust me, we cannot have it. We cannot, we are not, we don't have the stomach to handle this kind of atrocity on this level. Not the Western world. It's over. You know, we need to come to a conclusion where we, at the end of the day, we need to help settle the idea. Now, everybody is all out there to have a global answering to the North Korean, but sometimes with example you can make magics. And the example that we have in hand is like the, you know, incredible atrocity that Assad made with his people that was not answered. You cannot pretend to take care of North Korea when you did not deal with Assad first. So I would think about North Korea as an example of what we're going to give them in case, and we're going to set a stage on Assad, because this is the region we need to handle. This is the situation we have to conclude, and this is the time. We cannot proceed elsewhere. You don't open a new war. And trust me, you don't have China back. You don't. You know that. North Korea and China, Iran and Russia are in cahoots. So please, let's not pretend we don't get it. We do get it. Now, America, sometimes you don't want to get involved in a war, right? Because you're beautiful. And because you're beautiful, I wanted to dedicate this song to you, because music maybe makes your heart beat. But the message is, you know, you're too beautiful. Be smart. Because we love you and we need you to be strong. So let's listen to the music of Ray Charles. Charles.
In liberating strife,
that was the incredible Ray Charles, and this is The Impossible Truth with Orly Benny Davis. We were talking about what America is, how much great it is. And remember, there is only one America in the world. And we need to preserve it, guide her, and really, really take care of her. So please, please don't go on Jeopardy and try to, you know, speculate what this nutcase in North Korea is doing. Let's solve one problem at a time, okay? Syria is something that we need to take care of. And what's the deal in Syria? Before we go on, the deal in Syria is like this. I heard that they are, you know, the head of ISIS, the head of Daesh, is al-Baghdadi, is gone, is dead. So the guidance is gone. but did we offer them a way to surrender? Any surrendering offer in this case? You know, this crazy part of the world, we did not. They are talking about what division they're gonna change, and you know the how Assad is gonna stay in control when he is the freaking world, you know, war criminal. We need to get him off his high horse and remind him that he must go, but he must go now. And before we go to a war in North Korea, we need to set an example what we're going to do with Assad. And, you know, you have the carrier, George W. Bush, here in the area. You can deal with it really good. And I know that the Russian carrier is gunner, so we could take care of that. Let's cut the deal with the Russian that we're gonna, you know, change the regime in Syria, because we cannot let Assad be. And by all means, it's not because we like the opposition. He needs to go. Okay. Now the opposition, I don't know, but the Kurds definitely earn their credit in the world. The Kurds actually show how responsible human being they are. The Kurds, 30 million people that they are in, you know, Iraq and around there, they deserve to have a territory. And I know the Turks are not happy with that. And I know the Turks will try to sabotage that, but it doesn't matter. When you have justice, when you do the truthful thing, you know, and the right thing to do, you do what it's right. And Assad needs to go. The children needs to have a better life. It's over. It's time to set the record. And the example is, we're going to set it for the North Korean, that won't mess with the free world. And America, as the leader of the free world, take it easy, but do it, you know, with much power, because you deserve it. Now, when we're talking about power, we're talking about justice, I wanted to let you listen to Trey Gowdy. Because when Trey Gowdy speaks, I can hear justice. When Trey Gowdy, the congressman of South Carolina, speaks, I can honor America. Let us all listen and understand that sometimes even a judge needs to remember that there is a God, and it's not us. We're going to listen to a part of it, okay? Let's listen.
Judge Crafture, I'm going to read you a quote, and you tell me whether or not you know who said this, okay? 100% of the women at call centers have been abused. It's an atmosphere of abuse. Anytime we see a call center person, female, all have been abused. Do you know who said that, Judge?
I did, was taken out of context.
Well,
sir, your microphone, can you repeat that, sir?
Yes.
He said it was taken out of context. Well, let's put that in context. Judge, was that, did somebody testify to that at a lower level? Was that in the record?
No, sir, that was my experience.
Did you rely on a learned treatise? You made a point of saying in your opening statement how much respect you pay to the federal rules and the Constitution. Was that a learned treatise you relied upon, Judge?
No, that was my experience over 20
So you
years.
Made yourself a witness, even though the federal rules are very clear that judges are not witnesses. Is that what your testimony is, Judge?
That was my opinion, not either.
100% of female employees at call centers have been abused.
I didn't say that. 100% of the people that appeared before me have been abused.
And you relied on no learned treatise, no testimony at a lower level, just your innate sense of medicine?
No, that's been my experience having hearings.
Well, let me ask you about another one of your experiences, Judge. I want to read you another quote and ask you whether or not you recognize who said this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How did your family discipline you? Did they hit you on the butt? I'm starting to do some analysis. It's starting to be when women are hit at an early age, they start developing problems in their 20s, late teens and 20s. My ex-wife told me about this. There's something in a girl that's a sexual thing. It arouses certain things. Did you say that, Judge?
Yes, I did.
Did you rely upon a learned treatise in reaching that determination?
No, I relied on...
Did you rely on something at a lower level, a hearing, a witness testified to that?
No, I relied on my experience hearing case over 20 years.
Judge, I hasten to add, because you made a point of saying in your opening statement that your first responsibility is to the Constitution and the federal rules of evidence. Are you aware that judges can't be witnesses? Are you familiar with that, Judge?
I don't consider myself a witness.
You just testified to your own personal experience. If that's not a witness, what is it?
That's a personal opinion.
Judges can't express personal opinions either. That's why we have something called experts.
Yo, that's
Did an expert testify to that, Judge?
That's called a First Amendment right.
You're considered, so you have a First Amendment right to say whatever the hell you want in a hearing. Is that what you're saying?
No, sir.
And you can rely upon that when you're spending taxpayer money?
No, sir. But that's an isolated case.
Well, it can't be an isolated case. I just cited two.
Yeah.
And my colleague cited others.
Yeah. You're taking isolated cases. I've had...
Well, let's go a little broader than that, Judge. What is your reversal rate of the hearing officer? Is it in excess of 90%?
Yes, it's based upon testimony given to me.
All right. And it has to be adjudicated twice before it gets to you, right?
That's correct.
And only if it's denied does it get to you. So 90% of the time, the people under you are wrong.
No, I want to be able to cross.
Well, it has to be, or you wouldn't be reversing them. They've denied benefits, Judge, and you've reversed their denial. That means that you're hiring some really dumb people to be hearing officers because they're wrong 90% of the time.
No, sir. I want to be able to cross-examine the people from Social Security.
I'm glad you mentioned cross-examination.
Right.
I can't tell you how glad I am.
Yeah.
Because in every other court proceeding, there is someone cross-examining the witnesses, but it's not a judge. It's an attorney, and that's true in misdemeanor crimes, that's true in felony crimes, that's true in civil cases. So what I think you need, Judge, is I think you need an advocate and an attorney for the taxpayer in the hearing room. Because I don't want you cross-examining witnesses. If you really think that paddling a child leads to sexual issues, I don't want you doing the cross-examination. And if you really think that 100% of CNAs have been abused and 100% of females in call centers have been abused, I don't want you doing the cross-examination, Judge.
Sir, we wear three hats. One hat is the Social Security hat. The other hat is the claimant's hat. The other hat is the Social Security hat.
Where's the expert witness hat? You just said you were an expert witness.
We have an adversary system, and I have the right.
It's not an adversary system. There's no advocate for the taxpayer that's in the courtroom.
We have a non-adversary system, sir. It's a non-adversary system, and I have to wear three hats.
It can't be too adversarial, or you would not reverse the hearing officer 90% of the time. And some of your colleagues, 99% of the time, they reverse a hearing officer. And we mistakenly, Judge, thought it was because you were eyeballing the witnesses so you could assess credibility. But we learned from your colleague, Mr. Taylor, that that's not even true.
Sir,
you don't even have a hearing. You just do it on the paper.
Sir, it's not eyeballing the witness. I take testimony. I've had here this sheet.
And who does the cross-examination?
It has 186 ailments on it.
Who does... Well, that's your document, Mr. Cummings.
No.
Mr. Cummings just exposed it. That's your document.
No. The attorney also provides one for me.
The attorney for whom?
For the claimant.
That's my point. There is no attorney for the taxpayer.
Good.
We're going broke. Mr. Chairman, I know I'm out of time, but I'm going to tell you.
We are back. It was an example of Congressman Trey Gowdy of South Carolina can cross-examine a judge. And that's where justice is really playing, is when even a judge has to answer. Because the rule and regulation of the U.S. is proven to be the best in the world. They're working hard, and of course, everybody can make mistakes, but together we can make it better. And that's the point of all this. Now, it's almost about time that we are going to conclude. And we have a few facts that we have to mention. You know, there is a negotiation with Qatar. Qatar actually denied they are not going to negotiate with the Saudis. There is some kind of complication that we have to have. It's really hard when you have two incredible forces that are trying to play the world in the middle. We have the Shiite and the Sunnis that are actually fighting each other. And the Saudis decided that Qatar is the head to cover. But I just learned today that the UK is going to go and investigate some foundation that the Saudis are putting into the mosque, in the extreme mosques in England. So we have also the scrutiny of the United Kingdom to the Saudis government. We cannot undermine what's going to happen there. We just have to hope that we're going to find a way to get out of this mess. And out of this mess, let's give the ISIS the out when they have to surrender, because there are many people that were recruited to ISIS that want to go home, like quotation mark. Home means that they need to establish some ground. So maybe we need to prosecute them. Maybe we need to find some camp to create a zone. But I think that they're going to surrender soon. So let's be prepared for that. So the Saudis and Qatar are going to set up some precedent to see what they're going to happen with. The Assad regime is going to end up his control over the area, because there is nothing he can do about it. The Russian needs to back off. Now, when I say Russian have to back off, I have to say a very incredible point that they made when they gave voice to the North Korean position. The North Korean position to the South Korean, they say that they cannot arm themselves against missile attack, something that without that Israel will not survive the next war if we won't have it. And because of that we have it, Israel is survived the last war and it will survive any war after that. So the Russian position against the South Korean and the American actually protecting them is ludicrous, and I hope that President Trump will call them off, because it's really incredible when you don't allow the country to protect themselves from, especially when you have a nutcase like the North Korean. And if he wants to play, by all means, come and play, but we are not going to take it. Now, having said that, you have to understand that President Trump has a challenge that nobody else had to face. There wasn't challenges like this before, and it's the most extreme time. And on that time, the media has to play the role of really investigating a real truthful reality. And what we found out on CNN, and what they try to, you know, to chase Donald Trump with Russian connection, we need to give them a no on that, because CNN is a beloved channel that actually messed up. So they need to go back and make their homework. But we're going to make you listen to what they actually created. Let's listen to the CNN video or audio on Russia. All right. It didn't work, but what happened was the CNN producer filmed people saying that Russian narrative was mostly bullshit. What it means, like, the CNN was trying to get some people to testify against the president. You know, journalism has nothing to do with politics. Journalism is supposed to be reality. Reality as you see it. Sometimes you see it from a different angle, a different vision. It doesn't matter, but you have to, by all means, be truthful to yourself, to God, to the people you serve, to the audience. Because what is journalism? Journalism is the one that, you know, we had the Watergate. That was incredible word, journalism. They actually resolved the situation. It wasn't right, and they saved the people. Why journalists think today that they are not the same people of, you know, of truth? Why do you think that they can camouflage? Why do you think that they can lie? Journalists cannot lie, because when you lie, you lost your credibility, and you can, you better go home, okay? So right now, we're going to conclude our hour with a prayer, with a prayer to the world. We have a few incredible tasks to solve. We have a mighty encounter with a Russian, you know, president, and the president of the USA, that God bless him and give him the force and the power, the might to overcome all his challenges. Because Donald Trump, he's a good guy, and he loves America with all his heart. And we love him and respect him. And we understand that he comes from incredible challenges. And sometimes it seems really funny, but he does everything with all his heart. So let's pray for him and for America's sake. Because when America is safe, the world is better. When America is safe and strong and mighty, the world feels good. Because when I have the big brother of America, you know, by my side, I know that I'm happy. I'm happy. So we're wishing the best to the president. And we're hoping that nobody's trying to mess with North Korea, because it's a nutcase. You don't go there. It's like a popcorn show. You know, if you want to start a nuclear weapon, you know, give him. And you know what? You know what I was thinking? He showed us what best he can do. Okay, now that he showed us, let's bring him to the table and say, okay, now that we got your number, we got your, you know, your drill, let's talk. He wants to be recognized. Let's bring it, because South Koreans are good people. They don't deserve to be in the midst of a war now. And more of that. We have, you know, we have a great visitor in Israel right now, the president of India. And it's not that I didn't talk about it in the beginning because it's not important. It's because we are so overwhelmed. The president of India is a mighty man. He's a graceful man. My goodness, you won't believe the people, what their experiences. It's not about sharing incredible futuristic knowledge. It's about the reality of humanism that this man has, that actually touches the heart of everybody. And they call him, he's a superstar. So you have, you know, India is a superstar. And whatever superstar works around, it means that he's God-given. He's going to work okay. He's going to be okay. And we're going to have the deal that we have to do. So, and we have India and the Indian president on the ground. And we have also the election of the Labour Party that took place. They replaced the head of them. The chairman was replaced, Herzog, the ancestor, you know, the grandson of the president, former president of Israel. And he couldn't take them over because he's a really good guy. He's a really, really good guy, Isaac Herzog. But he doesn't have, you know, that Sharon position or posturing. Doesn't have the goods that the Israeli like. Israeli are really tough cookies, you know that. We've been through a lot, and we work hard. And sometimes, you know, a nice skinny bond does not make it. It's like Macron in France. Does it for them, but Herzog did not do it for the Labour Party. That's why he lost the election last time, even that he came close. But right now, he's going to be replaced by, we have, you know, the second round next week. Next week, Monday, they're going to have it between Paris or Gabay, which everybody bets for Paris, and Paris is a good guy too. He actually the one that created Iron Dome, so we have a perspective of actually a very, very powerful man with labor forces all behind him, you know, the labor union, etc., etc. So I think that Israel is repositioning themselves, but we are here also on the ground working hard to understand what the world is asking, how we can serve the world better. And I've been going from one conference to another. Trust me. The conferences here are forever. You got the tourism industry, you got the business industry, you got the high-tech industry, the cybernetics industry, anti-defense industry, everything. Every day I have something. And on top of it, we are running also a new legislation in the Knesset that said that we need to stop the transportation of live animals from Australia to the Middle East when outrageous condition. What they do is, because they need fresh meat in Israel, they bring the cattle from overseas. And not Israel only, it's Jordan and the Middle East, of course. But what happened is they bring them out from zero temperature to 50 degrees Celsius, and they bring them in 2-3 weeks on the go. When you slaughter an animal, in the Jewish tradition, you're not supposed to make him suffer. That's why they have the special killing, that we are supposed to make them suffer less. Now, when you transport them, there is that question. Do you actually aggravate them so much? Is that right? So that's what I'm working on it now, and I hope to help legislate that war, law to make sure that they cut the time of transportation so we don't have to make them suffer so much in order for somebody to have steak. Now, I spoke about it last week, but I'm still working on it. That legislation, it's a little hard to pass because it's in the opposition camp. But I'm trying to get some in the coalition to play along. And it's summer and it's hot and people are going on vacation and they don't care that animal, on the vessel for ages. But I do care and I need to keep on doing it. So by all means, having said that, I want to say to you goodbye. I love you. And I hope to wish you all the best. And next week is the memorial of my mother, so I'll dedicate all my love and these songs to my mom, which she was an incredible lady that gave me an example, an incredible attitude. Lisa Julie, I love you. I miss you. May you be always with the angel. God bless you all. Be good, because there is a God, and he loves you a lot. God bless you all. Ciao, ciao.